Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNlive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology, discoveries that will touch your life and change the way you view the universe. Well, with us today is Leonard David, author of an exciting new book. It's called Moon Rush, The New Space Race. So we're going to be talking about going back to the moon, on to Mars, and who knows, even beyond that. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest bestseller I've written is called The Future of Humanity, talking about one day, perhaps, we'll be able to terraform Mars, make Mars into a tropical island in the sky, and who knows, perhaps one day even venture on into the stars. But with us today is Leonard David. For 50 years, he's covered the space program for agencies like NASA, Space.com, National Geographic. His previous book is called Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. But today we're going to be talking about his new book, The Moon Rush, The New Space Race, talking about the fact that, well, some people are saying there could be a traffic jam around the moon in the coming decade. After all, we have NASA with its SLS booster rocket scheduled for a liftoff in 2024, unless there's another delay. And not to be outdone, we have Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos. Elon Musk with SpaceX, and he's selling tickets. Tickets for tourists to go around the moon. And there's a Japanese billionaire who has actually bought all those tickets, and he wants him and his friends to go around the moon. And then there's Jeff Bezos, another one of the richest men in the world, and he has what is called the New Origins Project and the new Armstrong rocket, and he wants to make Earth into an environmentally friendly jewel in the sky, so that heavy industry would be done in outer space, leaving the Earth to be a jewel, a celestial jewel in the heavens. And then not to mention the Chinese. The Chinese, of course, have their program, and they firmly project the time when they'll plant the Chinese flag on the moon. So it's going to be quite interesting in the coming years as we see a traffic jam around the moon and then on to Mars. Well, Leonard, the first question for you is, how did you, as a youth, when you were a kid, how did you first get interested in science and astronomy?
Well, I broke my glasses, and I took the lenses and got some cardboard tubes and fashioned my own little telescope. I must admit, I think sometimes I look through there and things look more distant than they should have, but anyway, that was my introduction to it. And I lived in Texas at the time, and very interested in space exploration. I kind of wanted to be an astronomer, but my math grades were not the best. And then Sputnik was launched in 57, and I think I saw the booster rocket that put Sputnik up, and that just galvanized my thinking about space exploration. And from there, it's been decades of writing about space and learning more and being surprised constantly.
Okay, well, 50 years ago, we went to the moon, and as Isaac Asimov once said, we scored a touchdown, and then we took our football and went home and forgot about it. So the question is, well, some people say it was cost. It simply cost too much to maintain this vibrant space program. The Apollo space program in 1966 consumed 5% of the entire national budget. Just think about that. 5% of every dollar you spent in income tax went to the Apollo space program. And some people say that's the reason why we didn't go back to the moon. But what are your thoughts? You've covered the space program for 50 years. You've seen the ups and downs of NASA. What are your thoughts about why we didn't go back to the moon after 50 years?
Well, you know, it's what I remember. We had a Vietnam War going on. We had trouble, race riots in the streets. There was a lot of other things going on in America. And kind of an aside, I worked at a restaurant once, and I had to beg the bartender to turn on the Apollo landing. And he says, "We're going again?" You know? So, mixture of messages coming out of America about its value of the space program. But why it closed down in 1972 was the last flight, Apollo 17. It's been a long haul. And, this time getting back to the moon to stay is going to be a very interesting and dynamic environment, not only for the United States, but, as you mentioned, China and other countries.
Okay, and some people think that we are entering a second golden age of space exploration after a 50-year gap. Prices are dropping. SpaceX is pioneering reusable rockets. And billionaires are opening up their checkbooks and funding some of these incredibly visionary schemes to go into outer space. But let's take them one at a time. First of all, there's NASA. NASA has the SLS booster rocket, which it's testing, and it hopes that the SLS will take us back to the moon sometime after 2024. However, some people say that it's very expensive, costing $1 billion per launch, and that, who knows, maybe it'll never fly. But what are your thoughts, first of all, about NASA? NASA's putting its bets on the SLS booster rocket and going back to the moon sometime after 2024. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm kind of trying to play the devil's advocate, you know, down the middle of the road being a journalist. But I don't discount NASA's capability with all the field centers and a tremendous track record of robotic and human exploration. We have an international space station up there. So I don't undercut NASA, but the private sector and NASA is putting together these public-private partnerships, working with SpaceX, working with Jeff Bezos. So that's all very encouraging. And I think there's a renaissance. You know, maybe as you get older, you want to have another renaissance if you've been involved in writing about the space program. I didn't want to waste 50 years or more of writing and have it dissipate, you know, as far as America. But the incredible overtures by other countries to explore space shows that it's not just no longer a kind of a U.S.-oriented capability. We've got other nations and other cultures that will change the dynamic of space exploration. Next go around.
Okay, well, some people, perhaps harshly, criticize NASA as being the agency to nowhere. Well, maybe that's changing. Let's take a short commercial break. Once again, our special guest today is Leonard David. The book is called Moon Rush, The New Space Race. And so we're talking about going back to the moon, onto Mars, and who knows what's beyond that. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Ask a question and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations and the internet which carry science fantastic. Give us a call.
Would you like to breathe in freedom wherever you go? Now you can with the Amulet Shield. Based on space-age technology, the Amulet Shield emits positive ions and surrounds you with a forest-fresh scent wherever you go. Roaming big box stores, riding stuffy elevators, or waiting in long lines, the Amulet Shield hangs around your neck and runs 24 hours when fully charged. Breathe in freedom with the Amulet Shield. Find the Amulet Shield at ProjectPillowTalk.com or call 877-289-7439. No, the Amulet Shield will not kill, cure, or heal anything except fear of not being able to breathe in freedom. So call or click today, ProjectPillowTalk.com or 877-289-7439. That's ProjectPillowTalk.com or 877-289-7439. Breathe in freedom with the Amulet Shield. Currently established federal laws that govern dietary supplements do not allow us to diagnose or treat any medical condition.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to know about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. The latest one is called The Future of Humanity. That is, humanity in outer space. You know, the dinosaurs did not have a space program. And as a consequence, that's why they're not here today to talk about it. We do have a space program and a vision. A new vision is emerging, not from NASA, but from billionaires who are enchanted by outer space. With Elon Musk of SpaceX, he wants to create a new home for humanity in outer space. He wants humanity to be a multi-planet species. And then we have Jeff Bezos, another one of the richest men in the world. And he wants to create the Earth as a celestial garden with heavy industry done in outer space, with the Earth being this jewel, this celestial jewel in outer space. Well, NASA, of course, is a bureaucracy. Let's be fair about it. They have budgets to make. They have environmental impact statements to make. But some people criticize NASA as being the agency to nowhere. That is, it didn't really go anywhere for 50 years. But now with the new influx of money, with prices dropping, with rockets becoming reusable, some people think there's new energy and momentum. Well, we talked a little bit about NASA. 2024, they're going to go back to the moon. Now let's talk about SpaceX. Do you think, Leonard, do you think that SpaceX has been somewhat of a game changer? That is given new energy, new momentum, new vision to the space program? What are your thoughts?
I'm right on the mark there. I think Elon Musk has done a lot to galvanize public interest in what's possible. And, you know, he's got a Starship in Texas right now. It's getting ready for another attempted flight, and that may take off today or tomorrow. And so he's making tremendous progress, and the whole idea of, you know, reusing these first stages and landing on drone ships and, you know, that used to be talked about like airline-like operation is another phrase that people used to always banter about. And but Elon is making a big difference, and we'll see. You know, there, a little bit of me has kind of the Pied Piper feeling about Elon. There's a lot of people that really want him to succeed, like I do. My guess is he'll have problems along the road. Meanwhile, he'll be, firing Teslas out there in space or whatever else he wants to do. But it's a great opportunity for new thinking, and Elon is really leading the pack.
And what are your thoughts about the fact that he's selling tickets for tourists to circulate around the moon, and he's actually sold out? There's a Japanese billionaire that I mentioned that actually bought up all those tickets. So what do you think about the fact that he's basically opening up space to tourists? What are your thoughts?
Well, space tourism is something I've written a lot about over the decades. And, you know, unfortunately, it's taken so long to get to this point where not only Elon, but you've got Richard Branson about ready to fly out of New Mexico on suborbital flights. Again, Jeff Bezos has got his new Shepard suborbital tourism capsule. So after 30 years of living in Washington, D.C., I'm here in Colorado now, but after 30 years, I did walk away cautiously optimistic. That's what you always learn in D.C. So I'm very optimistic in the next this coming year we're going to see the beginning of space tourism, at least suborbital flights, and then we'll see how Elon does with circumlunar flights. And my problem is, as a freelance writer, I'm going to be waving goodbye to a lot of people because I just can't afford the seat.
Speaking of which, Richard Branson is offering tickets to go to the very edge of the atmosphere at the threshold of outer space. Tickets cost in the neighborhood of $200,000. So if you have $200,000 to burn, then you too can go into outer space. But as you mentioned, New Origins with Jeff Bezos, he actually has a rocket, not just a jet rocket, but a rocket that takes you to the edge of space, and it's been tested several times. So what are your thoughts about the fact that space tourism could really become part of a rich person's itinerary? What are your thoughts?
I think it's there. It's happening. There will be some brave ones going first, and then Branson's always talked about seat prices coming down once the vehicle is more operational. Same with Jeff Bezos. We're not quite sure what he's going to charge per seat, as far as I know. But we're right on that cusp again. Now, you know, Richard Branson suffered a tragic failure and lost a pilot in an early test flight. So, you know, these things are still dangerous. In fact, I think even today, January 27th, 1967, we lost the Apollo 1 crew. Gus Grissom, Ed White, Roger Chaffee. So, you know, we can't forget that space is still, it's still dangerous, it's still risky, but the opportunity for success and achievement, and particularly passenger flight, is imminent, I believe.
Well, Elon Musk was once asked the question whether or not he would like to die on Mars, and he said yes, but not on impact.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't want to crash land on Mars, but he wouldn't mind going to Mars.
Well, I think something you said there early on that it would be good to go back a circle about NASA. And, you know, we do have this 2024 objective by the administrator that's no longer running NASA. He left just the other day, and we're waiting for a new NASA chief. But I've gone through in my career flip-flops on NASA. Well, let's go to Mars first. Let's go to the moon first. Let's go to an asteroid. And Obama, Bush, the two Bush presidents, we've had all these different kind of policies that falter. And the money doesn't show up, or we have a technical glitch, or a change of administrations. So I'm kind of, NASA has what they call the continuity of purpose. And unfortunately, it can also be a constipation of purpose. You know, if America does not want to achieve spectacular success built on the legacy of 50 years, then there's the issue there. And I've seen it falter over the decades. And I'm a little worried that we're almost there again. The amount of money that we're going to be spending to solve this virus issue, job loss, new employment that we have to get. Biden's got a tactic. We're not quite sure what the new president has in mind for the space program. So we'll see. Meanwhile, other countries are going to be taking the lead, I believe.
Now, some people think that one of the problems with NASA was the lack of vision, that back in the 60s, the vision was to beat the Russians. That was our vision. But we did it. We beat the Russians.
Yeah.
And then we lost the vision. But Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos have two new visions. One is that humanity should become a multi-planet species, and the other one is that the Earth should become a celestial park, a jewel in the heavens. So what are your thoughts? Do we need a new vision to keep things going, especially because, you know, money is tight? We have this pandemic going on right now. So what are your thoughts about what would motivate taxpayers to keep on funding a space program?
Well, you know, and when looking back in my 70-plus years now old view of space, it's a little bit like a Rorschach test. I don't need too much convincing to explore. Other people, other places need other types of
dynamics. Let's take a short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue with discussion of your new book, Moon Rush, The New Space Race. And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. On Facebook, we have about 4 million fans on Facebook. Find out what all the excitement is about. And the hotline number is 612-564-8135. Ask that question you've always wanted to ask, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres is speaking out about Afghanistan.
Afghanistan is spinning out of control.
He's calling on the Taliban to cease fire and negotiate. They've taken control over all major cities in the country except the capital of Kabul. Around 3,000 U.S. troops are heading there to provide protection during the likely evacuation of embassy personnel and others in the city. Former National Security Council Afghan Director Paul Miller says President Biden's decision to withdraw from Afghanistan so quickly disheartened their military.
He, I think, delivered a crippling morale blow to the Afghan army, and they no longer believed they had the resources they needed to win. So if that's true, then why fight? And that has led to a cascading effect where the Afghan army is not fighting and the Taliban are winning.
This is USA Radio News. Officials put a military base in Washington, D.C. on lockdown temporarily after receiving reports of an armed man entering the location. The lockdown at Joint Base Anacostia-Balling was lifted about 2 hours after it began with the arrest of a suspect. The base said the man was last seen on the south side of the facility near the Blanchard Barracks. He was seen entering the base after local police received reports of shots being heard in the area. White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Jeff Zients says they're seeing progress in vaccinations, especially in states that have the highest number of COVID cases.
In the past month, we've nearly tripled the average number of shots each day in Arkansas and quadrupled in Louisiana, Alabama, and Mississippi.
Science also had praise for private employers, colleges, and hospital systems that are putting vaccine mandates in place. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Our special guest today is Leonard David. For 50 years, he's covered the space program for space.com. He's worked with NASA, National Geographic. His previous book is called Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. But now he's talking about his latest book, Moonrush, The New Space Race. Well, let's talk about going to the moon. What do we do when we go there? We're going to orbit around the moon sometime after 2024. Some people say we should create a space station, a lunar space station, sort of like a mini version of our International Space Station, and from that, perhaps, go to Mars. Other people say, no, we should have a sustainable moon base where we can have astronauts who live there, and we rotate them permanently. So what are your thoughts? Once we go to the moon, what's the next step? To build the lunar orbiter? To build a sustainable moon base? What's next?
That's a great question. I in the book, I try to outline a bunch of different scenarios, including NASA's gateway that may or may not evolve, but it looks like the movement there, it's becoming, like you just said, a miniature international space station. The key thing in the book that I try to get across, and I hope I get across, is that, you know, the moon is not a been there, done that world. There's still it lurking in polar craters that are never see sun, could be a lot of water ice. Are there other resources, rare earths on the moon? Helium-3 has been suggested by even Apollo 17 astronaut Jack Schmidt as something mineable. So there is a dynamic there about the moon. And, you know, I woke up this morning and looked at the Colorado Mountains over here, and the moon was huge. It's just over there. I mean, it's the thing people have to realize, it's close. It's very close. I don't have any doubt that, you know, eventually if you're going to live off the land of the moon, the resources will be there. And how do you create a permanent facility? People talk about 3D printing of construction material to build habitats on the moon. And again, it's not just the United States, but Europe and Russia is coming back into the moon business, even launching a lander, a lunar lander in October of this year. So, again, the multiple nations that are looking at the moon have all kinds of plans, and I think some of these plans may turn out to be exactly the way we return to the moon and stay there.
Okay, well, some people say that the composition of the moon is almost identical to the chemical composition of the Earth, because the moon, of course, came out of the Earth roughly 4 billion years ago. And so mining the moon would not be economical. It's cheaper to simply mine your backyard than mine the moon, because we're made out of the same materials. So what do you say to the cynics who say that the mining of the moon is really to create minerals for a moon base, not to bring them back to Earth, because we already have rocks that are chemically identical to the rocks found on the moon? So what are your thoughts about the prospects of mining the moon for commercial purposes?
Well, being here in Colorado, every year I go to the School of Mines, Colorado School of Mines, and they have an active...
Okay, Leonard, we have to take another short commercial break, but after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of your book, Moon Rush, The New Space Race. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station and website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe your thoughts will be heard on 100 radio stations and on the internet. Stay tuned.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared, and now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Today we're talking about Moonrush, the new space race by Leonard David. For 50 years he's covered the space program. His previous book is called Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. So we are talking about the fact that, yes, even though we are saddled with a huge pandemic, Mars and the Moon are on the agenda. So, Leonard, when we last left off, we were talking about the fact that Moon rock is chemically identical to Earth rock, because, of course, the Moon came out of the Earth. So mining the Moon would not be economical. So what are we going to do to help pay the bill? It's going to be very expensive going back to the Moon. How do we pay the bill if we cannot get money by mining the Moon? What are your thoughts?
Well, being here in Colorado, I attend School of Mines symposia on and they've got an active group there on learning how to operate on the Moon and machines and build facilities. And but, you know, I don't foresee, you know, what the material coming back from the Moon of what value would have down here. However, if you are of the like mind thinking of permanence on the Moon to go beyond the Moon, then I think it's a stepping stone. I mean, it's corny, but it is. The Moon is a stepping stone to other great adventures that await human exploration. So, and then you have a lot of people talking about astrophysical observatories on the far side of the Moon, radio telescopes. I mean, so the scientific nature of what the Moon could offer from a research facility is compelling to me. But it's a Rorschach test. You know, I think you got to blend a lot of these things together to make the case that everybody on Earth would be supportive of a lunar facility like Antarctica base, you know, that we have. So, and then I think we can't discount the diplomatic opportunity we have to work with other nations on building facilities on the Moon. So, you know, it really is, you know, a smorgasbord of possibilities that I think we'll find by getting to the Moon and sustaining human presence there.
And some people say that the discovery of water ice on the Moon could be a game changer. We're talking about the fact that water can be used to be, first of all, purified for drinking purposes, but you can also break it up into oxygen and hydrogen for rocket fuel, and oxygen for breathing and also for rocket fuel. So what are your thoughts about the fact that water ice has been discovered on the moon in quantities that are surprising?
I think I'm personally very excited about that prospect. However, it is prospecting. We're going to have to get in those places and really understand what people are going to be dealing with in the super cold temperatures of those particular craters that may have water ice. Nobody knows the constituency of that water ice. How difficult would it be to mine? Again, there are people that are doing very active things of beaming solar energy into these darkened craters to perhaps melt the ice itself and then extract it and process it. But we're going to have to get down there and figure it out. And we've got numbers of robotic spacecraft that will do some surveying. But I think, you know, until people are there and in the area, that's when we're going to find either wonderful news or, hey, this is a little harder than we thought.
Now, also, radiation is a problem, given the fact that we spend almost all our time on the Earth shielded from the solar flares and cosmic rays from outer space. So some people think that a quick and dirty way to get around that is to use lava tubes. Lava tubes that already exist on the moon, left over from when the moon was first created out of volcanoes. And that could be a quick and dirty way to create the first moon base. Anyway, let's take another short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion of the book, Moon Rush, The New Space Race, with Leonard David. And again, if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letter to the radio station, and the website, and the city you're calling from. And maybe you can get on 100 radio stations of the Internet, which carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes,
Take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. And go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. We have about 4 million fans on Facebook. So give us a call. And once again, our special guest today is Leonard David. 50 years he's been covering the space program for places like NASA, Space.com, National Geographic. And the book, the new book, is called Moon Rush, The New Space Race. Well, we were talking about some of the dangers of being on the moon, like radiation. Some people think that lava tubes may give us a quick and dirty way to create a moon base. But what are your thoughts? Living on the moon, isn't it rather dangerous and harsh? You cannot live off the land like the pioneers did centuries ago. There are no rabbits and deers to kill with bows and arrows. There's nothing on the moon of commercial value, at least in the short term. So what are your thoughts about living on the moon?
Well, I think these underground lava tubes may be future habitats for a small settlement. That's feasible. In fact, Red Whitaker at Carnegie Mellon is working with NASA on a new kind of rover that would actually gauge, you know, how deep those cavern entrances are. So we're getting there where we might be able to use lava tubes. On the other hand, you could I've seen European space agencies researchers are coming up with 3D printing of the lunar topside and using that as construction material and even some radiation shielding. So, again, until we get down and dirty on the surface and get beyond the Apollo, plant the flag, salute, and get out of there, we're going to have to learn a lot more about how to survive on the moon. And I think it's there to do. Every place on Earth, we've got people tromping around, whether it's in the desert or the polar regions or up on top of mountains, at very extreme environments. So, and undersea. So I think we'll find our way and have firm footing on the moon at some point.
And also, there was a split among the astronauts who first went to the moon, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. One of these astronauts wanted to simply bypass the moon and go on to Mars. We've been to the moon. Let's go to Mars and not even think about the moon. The other group says, no. We have to, like, you know, earn our spurs. We have to first go back to the moon and use the moon as a launch pad to go to Mars. So what are your thoughts? Should we simply bypass the moon and go to Mars? I think Elon Musk leans in that direction. Or should we really settle down and create a moon base, live on the moon, get experience, and then a lunar orbiter from which we can build a rocket ship to take us to Mars? What are your thoughts?
I'm of the mindset about the moon is there. It's in front of us. We've already had 12 people successfully reconnoiter the moon and their little areas that they landed in. So I believe the moon is the destination first, that we have to get our chops up. This is going to give us new technologies, new ways to live and thrive on the moon, and I think they'll all be applicable to future Mars settlement. So now, for me, it's the moon first. Let's get back, get our space legs on the moon, learn as we go, and also fail as we go, because I don't think every piece of hardware we get to the moon will always operate the way we think it does in labs down here. So, I think it's a precursor for adventure beyond the moon, and let's get back and get our space legs under us.
And also, what about the Chinese effort? The Chinese are very methodical. They've been following step by step, patiently following what Russia and the United States did 50 years ago. And as they go to send robotic rovers to the moon, the next step would be to send astronauts, Chinese astronauts, to put their flag on the moon. So what do you thought about competition now for the space race to the moon?
Well, that's why I wrote the book. I think we were seeing a Sputnik effect here with China, very much like back in October of 57. They're making strong headway, and this last return sample mission was unbelievable. They did everything Apollo did robotically, bringing back samples, but step by step, you're right, methodical. And we're going to see China launch the first component of its space station this year, and it's going to be 11 flights that follow, or 10 or 11, to assemble their own space station in Earth orbit. So there's a plan there, and I think that's a diplomatic wake-up call for America to make sure we keep our oar in the water.
And beyond that, Mars. You've written a book, Mars, Our Future on the Red Planet. So long-term, do you really think that, well, we have Elon Musk talking about a million settlers on Mars. Do you think that's a reasonable scenario that, of course, not in the next decade, but in the coming decades, Mars could be a target for settlers up to a million? What are your thoughts?
I won't probably be around, but I'm all for it. I think it's a opportunity by the private sector to show what it can do. And Elon is a big dreamer, a big schemer. He's got money to put the bill on his views. So, and I think people are ready to go if he's ready to go.
Okay, well, great. Once again, our special guest has been Leonard David. The book is called Moon Rush, The New Space Race. Thank you so much for being on Science Fantastics.
Thank you very much.
And once again, if you want to know more about Science Fantastic and ask a question, give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters of the radio station or website you're listening to, and the city you're calling from. And bingo, maybe you can have your thoughts heard nationwide and on the Internet. So once again, give us a call and go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org, and find out what all the excitement is about on Science Fantastic.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.